This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. Iraq's Christians are crying for help. We can do more, and we must do more to stop this genocide.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
With respect to Iraq, we continue to see important progress across different parts of our strategy to support the Iraqi government and combat the threat from the terrorist group ISIL. First, our military operations are effectively protecting our personnel and facilities in Iraq. Over the last 11 days, American airstrikes have stopped the ISIL advance around the city of Erbil and pushed back the terrorists. Meanwhile, we have urgently provided additional arms and assistance to Iraqi forces, including Kurdish and Iraqi security forces who are fighting on the front lines.
This Fox News alert right now, Iraqi and Kurdish forces retaking the country's largest dam away from ISIS militants. Big development here after dozens of U.S. airstrikes. What's the latest that you're hearing about the fighting from where you are right now?
We are here in the city of Dohuk. It is about 20 miles from that Mosul dam. And we were hearing from folks on the ground near that structure. And they say there are still some skirmishing to the south. They're being called diehard ISIS militants clashing with the Peshmerga forces. And also, they've got their hands full of defusing explosives, which have been rigged to that structure. But yes, that dam pretty much under the complete control both of Peshmerga fighters and the Iraqi security forces.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
These threats from ISIS to attack on American soil, what do you know about this?
Well, we've seen a lot of threats from ISIS increasing in recent days. You know, we saw it not long ago. They threatened to raise the black flag of ISIS over the White House. We've seen more specific threats just in the last several hours. And this is really why the United States got involved in this, because ultimately this terrorist group represents a threat to the West and a threat to the United States. In fact, Lara, this, as you hear many intelligence analysts say, could be the most well-funded, well-armed terrorist group we have ever seen.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. Well, as you heard, the threat is real, not just to Iraqis, not just to Iraqi Christian or Yazidis who have been fleeing the ISIS terror, the Islamic State terror, but now real acknowledgement that the threat the Islamic State poses to the United States is a very much a reality. We've seen the images ISIS have posted on their social media of the messages in front of the White House, which means, of course, would send that signal that they do have supporters here on the ground. And I'd be surprised if there were not. I'd actually think that, of course, there are those who are, again, sympathetic to the Islamic State and may want to join the Islamic State. We know they actively recruit foreign fighters. They've actively recruited Americans to go and fight in their, quote, jihads in Syria and now in Iraq. So this threat very real. As the air campaign continues, there is this question, though, is can we do more? Why are we leaving people on the mountainside who are fleeing from these groups, whether they are other religious minorities or Christians? And I will tell you, I just returned from India after about 2 weeks there yesterday. I just returned late last night to Washington, D.C. It dominated the news cycle around the world, and I'm sure it continues to do so today. And of course, we've got the situation in Israel and between Israel and Hamas heating up again, a ceasefire about to end, and Hamas violates the ceasefire. More rockets fired into Israel. Israel is now responding with air campaigns. So that heating up once again. We'll take your phone calls on it today, 1-800-684-3110. Are we doing enough in Iraq to protect the religious minorities there, including the Christians who are fleeing? Why would we say, well, we'll just leave them here on the mountain, it seems fine? Or do you think President Obama's right that we have done enough and our work is successful enough? Will these air campaigns be enough? I just got back again from a trip to India with my wife, who just started a new project called One Life Movement there. If you follow us on Facebook, my Facebook account, or on Twitter, you saw some of the photos. There'll be more to talk about there in the future, but a great experience and a lot more to come there. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Christians under assault. The threat is their life. And will Christianity exist in some of its, you know, founding cities in Iraq, where there have been Christian peoples for over thousands of years since Christ? Call now if you believe we can do more to stop this genocide of Christians. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims. A deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The Islamic State has issued another round of threats against the United States of America. Take a listen. This is the latest threat by ISIS. This is a propaganda video that has been posted yesterday. Reuters narrates it for us so we know what it's saying in English. Take a listen, Byte 9.
Video from the Islamic State uploaded to a social media website on Monday sends a message from its fighters to Americans. It reads, "We will drown all of you in blood." The militant group has warned that it will attack Americans anywhere if U.S. airstrikes hit Islamic State militants.
Now, of course, we have got airstrikes hitting Islamic State militants. So that being said and done, they now said, quote, "We will drown all of you in blood." Now, we know, again, we're fighting a well-armed terror group here. I say we are fighting because they want to bring the fight to us. We have started air campaigns. That's the trigger point. They wanted to start unleashing terror against the United States directly. The question is, do they have the capability to do it? Now, they've tried to show that they have people on the ground in the United States. I have no doubt, by the way, that there are probably at least thousands of ISIS sympathizers in the United States. We know that they have recruited fighters from the United States of America, people willing to go and die for their cause in places like Syria and Iraq. So we would be living with our heads in the sand if we thought that this wasn't true. The question is, can they activate them? Are they more the type of, remember what happened in Boston, for instance? If that can be inspired by an Al-Qaeda print magazine, imagine the what these kind of groups with the capability, they've got billions of dollars of assets, they've got good social media, they're able to connect to people, they've been taking over large swaths and controlling major areas, and though they've got an air campaign coming from the United States, it's significantly damaging their hold on Iraq, that in no way is significantly going to stop the group. And the United States has admitted that it's, the goal here is not to eradicate the Islamic State, that we believe that other forces can do that. That's a question we can talk about today on the broadcast, and we'll talk to you on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Here's President Obama's statement from the White House yesterday. Take a listen when he talks about Iraq, Byte 1.
With respect to Iraq, we continue to see important progress across different parts of our strategy to support the Iraqi government and combat the threat from the terrorist group ISIL. First, our military operations are effectively protecting our personnel and facilities in Iraq. Over the last 11 days, American airstrikes have stopped the ISIL advance around the city of Erbil and pushed back the terrorists. Meanwhile, we have urgently provided additional arms and assistance to Iraqi forces, including Kurdish and Iraqi security forces who are fighting on the front lines.
So there's President Obama's take. Again, you know, the news was that we had recaptured Mosul, that there was a smoother transition than was some had feared in Iraq with their government, though you've still got an unstable Iraqi government. You've got a situation where, yes, we've been able to push back on the Islamic State gains. We're going to take your phone calls on it now, though, because I don't think people understand the scope of this organization. Why? Now we have U.S. officials really admitting to the threat that the Islamic State poses to the United States. And Jonathan Carl from ABC, he talked about that. I want to play this, and then we'll take your phone calls. Why is there a real threat? You know, they post these video messages. Your blood will spill. We will spill all of your blood in the United States of America was the latest. And they've got, you know, their images on video. They had the text messages out and the screenshots in front of the White House saying that we're coming for you. Take a listen to this. Do we think it's a real threat? Bite 10.
These threats from ISIS to attack on American soil. What do you know about this?
Well, we've seen a lot of threats from ISIS increasing in recent days. You know, we saw it not long ago. They threatened to raise the black flag of ISIS over the White House. We've seen more specific threats just in the last several hours. And this is really why the United States got involved in this, because ultimately this terrorist group represents a threat to the West and a threat to the United States. In fact, Lara, this, as you hear many intelligence analysts say, could be the most well-funded, well-armed terrorist group we have ever seen.
Well-funded, well-armed terrorist group we have ever seen. You think the Obama policy towards the Middle East has gone well? I don't. Even if you voted for him, you've got to be pretty upset by how poorly managed the world has been. Much of this was under, of course, U.S. authority when he took the oath of office, and now we have the most well-funded, well-organized terrorist group sprout out amongst the ashes of what he was praising as the Arab Spring. Remember, it all goes back to this all happened under President Obama's watch. No one else can take the blame. Can't blame Bush for this one because these fighters weren't even around. So we'll take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. If you believe we can do more to stop the genocide of ISIS, if we can do more to protect ourselves and to dismantle this terror organization, do more to protect those Yazidis who were up on that hill where we dropped supplies to but decided not to do a full evacuation. If you believe we can do more, call and join our petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's go to June in California, Line 3. June, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay. You guys are doing a great job. My question is like a two-part. First of all, who are the people funding ISIS and keeping them so well-funded? And is there anything we can do as Americans with our government to pressure them to get in there and bomb these people and get rid of them?
Well, I think for part one and part two, let me go to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, also a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves. And David, a part one of that on the funding side, ISIS initially, you know, was gaining support when they were in Syria and there were countries backing the opposition to the Assad regime. So that was their kind of early point of funding and whether or not they were, you know, they were fighting the Hezbollah, they were fighting against the Assad regime. And so they were getting some support and sympathy from the Gulf states. Now, much of the Gulf, some of our allies there, Saudi Arabia, the Qatars of the world, have kind of pulled back that support. They've realized this group's coming for their heads, too. Literally, by the way, they would like to cut their heads off. So when ISIS moved into Iraq and started taking over towns, well, they also started taking over banks. They also started taking over museums. And with that, they've built up over $2 billion worth of financial assets, not just assets, actual cash that they can use as an organization.
Well, that's right. I mean, right now they're largely self-funded. I mean, this is an organization that not only has taken over banks, has taken over oil fields. By some measures, gets millions of dollars a day in revenue through the oil fields. So this is an organization that, unlike Al-Qaeda at its height, unlike Hamas, unlike Hezbollah, is largely capable of for now, funding its own operations and has a huge cash reserve. I mean, when you think about a $2 billion reserve with 10,000 fighters, that's the ability to finance an awful lot of terror.
And, David, that brings us to the second question June had, which is, can we do more with our air raids? Can we significantly take out? You know, if it's 10,000 fighters, can we take out 8,000 of them with air campaigns if they're having to? And this is a little bit different than Afghanistan because they are a bit more exposed in these cities and towns. I would guess, though, that you've run into that same situation that Israel has with Hamas, civilian casualties.
Well, you can't take out a fighting force from the air entirely. I mean, that's been tried over the course of history. It never works. It has to be an air and ground campaign. But right now we have a force on the ground, the Peshmerga militia, the Kurdish militia, which are some of the bravest fighters in the Middle East, are there on the ground. The Iraqi army is finally moving. There was a special forces detachment from the Iraqi army that moved north. And I have personal experience dealing with some of these Iraqi special forces units. They came and worked out of our forward operating base when I was in Iraq. And believe it or not, some of those guys are very good soldiers. They've been very well trained by American special forces. They're finally moving. So we have troops on the ground. When I say we have allied troops on the ground. We have allied boots on the ground, and we have American air cover that should be enough to roll back ISIS for at least a little while, but it will not be anywhere close to enough to finish the job.
You know, folks, and that will be the question for the months to come, will there be leadership and will it be required? And, you know, hopefully, and this is, again, we pray that it doesn't take some kind of attack outside of Iraq to kind of bring the reality of what's going on and the danger of this group. And in the past, presidents have been more proactive in making sure that those kind of threats that are made, if they're realistic at all, and when you get ABC News and everybody else talking about it, you know that they're hearing the chatter, that you don't wait for those kind of attacks to come, especially in the post-9/11 world. But again, it brings us to a series of issues with this administration, and are they significantly engaged in this? We will take more of your phone calls when we come back from the next segment of the broadcast. Let me encourage you to sign our petition. I know we can do more to protect Iraqi Christians and Iraqi religious minorities and even other Iraqi Muslims from a genocide by a group that is not only brutal, but is doing it in a very coordinated way. I mean, they've got banking set up. They've got financial systems set up. We've got to combat this, and we need Congress. We need Washington to hear from you. Call now, add your name to the petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Do you think you can really stop ISIS while you're vacationing in Martha's Vineyard? It's a serious question, folks. Go to aclj.org and sign the petition online.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or please add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, folks. We are working towards getting to 200,000 on our petition to stop the genocide of Christians in Iraq. We are at 190,698 right now, so we're close. I think we can get there by the end of the today if we hear from enough of you. So if you've not signed that petition yet, as we're talking about the situation in the Middle East now and in Iraq, and of course the situation between Israel and Hamas unraveling once again after this peace talks have basically come to a close with no long-term ceasefire deal, as of now, and more rockets being fired into Israel, Israel having to respond. That's just happened in the last few hours. If we can get to this 200,000, we'll be sending a strong message to Washington as members of Congress are on the August recess, but this is not an issue that's going to be over in a couple of weeks, and we've got to let the administration know. You know, the president putting on his suit and tie and showing up in Washington to make a statement every few days is not enough to stop the threat of this group. And we've got senior U.S. officials acknowledging the threat that ISIS poses, not to the Christians on the ground running from them in Iraq. We all know they pose a threat to them, but to Americans on the ground here in the United States of America. We're dealing with a new, bigger al-Qaeda. Remember President Obama said, well, we've got al-Qaeda on the run? Yeah, I think they're running to form the Islamic State, which is now not just a small network of terror groups to carry out horrendous attacks, but is a force on the ground also taking land. They're not making a separation as, well, this is our Taliban side, this is our al-Qaeda international side for terrorism. They are all one in the same. And it's happened right under our eyes, right under our noses. Folks, we've got to do more. Let's get to 200,000 on this petition. Call now. This is a toll-free number to add your name to stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians. We do have a duty. One is Christians. Two is Americans and the most powerful military in the world to do everything we can to stop this genocide and to neutralize this group for now and at least keep some. Preserve some of the Christian cities and villages that existed in Iraq. Don't we have that duty as Christians? Call now. Get us to 200,000 on that petition to send a strong message to Washington. That's 877-989-2255. That's, again, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. We're less than 10,000 away from hitting our goal of 200,000 on our petition. Who wouldn't sign a petition to stop a genocide of one of the oldest Christian communities in the world? Call 877-989-2255. And here we even have the Pope, Pope Francis, who has said that it is legitimate to carry out these kind of attacks. That is rare, folks, very rare for the Vatican to endorse any kind of military action. That's how bad it is for these religious minorities, including Christians. Take a listen to Pope Francis. Let's take a listen.
In these cases, where there is an unjust aggression, I can only say that it is licit to stop the unjust aggressor. I underscore the verb to stop. I'm not saying bombing or making war, but stop him. The means by which he can be stopped must be evaluated. Stopping the unjust aggressor is licit.
And this is, again, what we're talking about here. So the Pope is saying, you know, I'm not going to tell you the methods, whether it's bombs, whether it's starting a whole war, but I am going to say there are legitimate means you have to be used to stop this, and they have to be evaluated. The question is our administration doing enough to evaluate that? This is the same administration who loved to declare in their political campaigning when they were going for re-election, President Obama, that this threat was no longer real to the world. Take a listen.
I said we'd refocus on the people who actually attacked us on 9/11. And today, al-Qaeda's on the run and Osama bin Laden is dead.
Except we've got now a new bin Laden with more money. His name is al-Baghdadi. He was once in the custody of the Iraqi Joint Forces and was seen as kind of a nobody. Eventually was let out and now has started what is a much larger group than al-Qaeda. And by the way, al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, the one that funded the magazine Inspire, which had the information for how to make the bombs that were used in the Boston bombing. The group with Al Laki, where we used to drone strike and kill him, the American imam who founded and was a key figure in this Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, they today have endorsed the Islamic State. So the news that Al-Qaeda is not really all behind the Islamic State may be true for some of the main Al-Qaeda elements, but one of the biggest offshoots, Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, has endorsed the Islamic State. This is a big deal, folks. We are under a real terror threat, but we've also got people, Christians, who are under threat as well. I'm going to go back to the phones again. Let's go to Manny in California, line 5. Manny, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yeah, Jordan, how you doing?
Good.
Well, your work, I mean, all of you guys, all of your team is just, I mean, it's no words to describe. It's beyond what you guys are doing is outstanding. But, of course, you guys already know that my point is the reason that all that's taking place with ICE is because our president, I mean, with all due respect, even that word, I mean, not to the office, but applied to him, is not even deserved to be said, but he doesn't have a heart. The man does not understand. He doesn't have courage to see that we got to crush every single one of them. They got to go. ICE has to go. The same way Netanyahu is trying to crush Hezbollah, it has to do the same thing. But also...
Well, you know, I don't understand. You know what I don't understand, Manny? And, you know, I was traveling overseas for almost 2 weeks in India. There's a lot of news about this. And, you know, there was also a lot of news about how little it seemed the president was engaged. You know, you make the soundbite, we'd have the airstrike started. But why isn't he saying more, making more comments, and why is he still on vacation? You know, it's not that the president can't take a vacation. I'm not saying that. But there are certain times when it's just inappropriate.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Jordan. And this has honestly been the Obama appeasement doctrine for some time now. You know, I listened to you and David talk about the capacity of ISIS, and I think one of the questions that we get a lot is, how in the world did a group like this acquire all of this capacity? And, Jordan, I'm certainly not going to imply that all of it happened over the last 2 months, but I will tell you this. If this administration had come in aggressively right from the beginning, before ISIS rolled through Iraq, before they acquired all that territory, and quite frankly, before they acquired all of this weaponry that is, in many cases, U.S.-made, we could have had a much bigger impact. So, to Manny's point, this administration and this president certainly have a huge amount of responsibility for just how wide the scope and the wide the threat of ISIS poses now.
Let's go to Brandon, California, line 2. Brandon, quickly, we're about done with our first half hour. We got a second half hour coming up, but Brandon wanted to get your comment.
Well, you know, 911. Those after 911, they said that they would have to make the whole world Muslim. Now, yep. and then after Obama had put this thing in law where men marry men, he has brought a curse upon America.
You know, we'll get back to more of your calls when we come back. I don't think that was the point Brandon had to make. What I think, though, the truth is that we have a real threat to America. And don't take my word for it. Take our senior officials. Take news reports. Take, again, take the government's word. They would. This is not an administration that would like to admit that terror from another Islamic group is a real threat to America. They, quote, had terrorists on the run. They pulled our troops out, a full withdrawal of Iraq, and now we're bombing Iraq again, which means our troops are in harm's way. And our own weapons are being used against us. We are not learning the lessons of history when it comes to Islamic radicalism. You would think it's pretty recent history for America that we would figure that out by now. But this administration just doesn't like the wars that they're having to fight, though they are ultimately fighting them. Call now. Stand with us. We need 9,000 more to add your name to the petition to save these Iraqi Christians. We'll be at 200,000. Call 877-989-2255 or sign at ACLJ.org.
Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live for our second half hour. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A new threat from the Islamic State as more and more U.S. officials are acknowledging their threat, not just to the religious minorities in Iraq who are on the run, not just to the Christians they're beheading and crucifying and killing, not just to the Yazidis, and not just to other Muslims who don't follow their ideology, but their threat to Americans on the ground in the United States of America. It comes from another ISIS propaganda video, and we'll have that explained for you now. Take a listen, Bite 9.
Video from the Islamic State uploaded to a social media website on Monday sends a message from its fighters to Americans. It reads, "We will drown all of you in blood." The militant group has warned that it will attack Americans anywhere if U.S. airstrikes hit Islamic State militants.
And then this question to Jonathan Carl, the ABC News White House correspondent, Bite 10.
These threats from ISIS to attack on American soil, what do you know about this?
Well, we've seen a lot of threats from ISIS increasing in recent days. You know, we saw it not long ago. They threatened to raise the black flag of ISIS over the White House. We've seen more specific threats just in the last several hours. And this is really why the United States got involved in this, because ultimately this terrorist group represents a threat to the West and a threat to the United States. In fact, Lara, this, as you hear many intelligence analysts say, could be the most well-funded, well-armed terrorist group we have ever seen.
And again, you know, you put those two statements together, there's going to be blood, and they say that they will do that if we strike any ISIS militants. We've done that, that we will drown all of you in blood. Now, it's one thing to say, to laugh off the idea that a group of 10,000, if they've got a couple billion dollars, and that they are going to destroy the United States of America. Though they are walking through Iraq, until we started these airstrikes, they were walking through Iraq town by town. But that does not mean they cannot carry out terror attacks, which can kill Americans, significantly damage our economy, put America into a state where, like a post 9/11 state, where it's very fragile, both economically. We had a recession. I mean, you had, again, downturns. It was a tough time. We've come out of a lot of that, and now we're back into facing a group that's that much stronger. And, Dad, the key here is that, you know, I was overseas, far overseas, for nearly 2 weeks. And ISIS, the Islamic State, is what's dominating the news, even in Mumbai, India. And why is it? Not just because of its attacks on Christians, not just because of its attacks on these other religious minorities, though the footage of the Yazidis was dominating a lot of news coverage there, but it was dominating the news in India, especially Mumbai, which is a financial capital of the world. It's kind of like Southeast Asia's New York, because of the economic impact this can have if a group like this continues to have seize this much control and this much economic support.
Well, that's right. And Mumbai has had firsthand experience, unfortunately, with these kind of terrorists. And this is so this is not foreign to their soil. This is something they're experiencing. But what you have happening right now, which I think is really fascinating, is you have this kind of a confluence of different zones of concern. You've got the military aspect of ISIS. You've got the economic control that ISIS is dealing with, and their ability to cause terror by other means other than strictly what we would call terroristic acts. I mean, there is that economic version of terrorism as well. But, Jordan, the great news is here, and we'll get David French's comments on this when we come back from the break. There has been some military progress. I know you've been talking about that. But look at the response we're having to our folks from around the globe that are contacting us, standing with us in this petition. Has been really nothing short of amazing. With phones, we're now well over 193,000 on our way to 200,000, which is really impressive.
Well, absolutely. And, folks, that's why we want you to continue to join and add your name to our petition. You call now, 877-989-2255. We are just 7,000 away from our goal of 200,000 on our petition to do more to stop this genocide. I mean, I'm just on FoxNews.com right now. There's another story up right on the homepage about Christians having to flee. And President Obama was acting like that was all under control. We know from the ground that it's not. We've got to do more. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to ACLJ.org.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered, by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And a lot of calls coming in. Again, you know, we're talking about the news coverage. There's a lot happening in the United States, and what's happened in Missouri obviously is dominating a lot of coverage about how that there can be a resolution there to the what's unraveled in that community in Ferguson, Missouri. But the truth is we've got these international stories going on. We're talking about really thousands of people having to flee, thousands who have been killed, U.S. arms going to support some sides of this. That's good news. We have not put troops on the ground. We are still engaged in air campaigns. There's been a question about how serious the Obama administration is taking this situation. You know, and sometimes I honestly think this administration just does a bad job of explaining what they're doing. Because on the one hand, sometimes, you know, Fox News reporting earlier today about some success on the ground in Iraq. The dam in Mosul, which was under the control of the Islamic State, has been now back under control of the Kurdish forces and the forces of the Iraqi military forces that we've trained, the United States of America trained. Those should be seen as, you know, somewhat victories. But this administration, they love withdrawals of military forces. They love ending conflicts. But even when they're engaged in conflicts, it's like they're afraid of upsetting liberals in America by talking about the successes of them, which even that alone sends a bad message to the enemy.
There is this sense that they put a governor on the engine, so to speak, David, on these issues. You've had significant military success. We said yesterday in the broadcast, we're going to always thank our military for their engagements, and we're always praying for our military, especially when those men and women are in harm's way. But it is a sense that they kind of put a self-regulating governor on the engine. We don't want it to look like we're too successful. That will somehow hurt us in world opinion.
Well, it's like he's wanting to continue to believe there's no war in Iraq, and he ended the war in Iraq. It's like he still holds that in his head as something that he did. But the reality is, if you actually look at the number of U.S. airstrikes over the last few days, they have escalated dramatically, and they've escalated as the Peshmerga have been advancing. So why he's not saying exactly what we're doing, I don't understand, except under the notion that politically he's trying to maintain a fiction while we're actually fighting and our own troops are in harm's way that he ended a war.
Fan, is that your sense of it, too? I mean, there's the politics of this. And what are the Democrats saying about this? Because some of them have been critical of the president for not doing enough.
Yeah, I think David's exactly right. We actually have some sound from a Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii saying essentially that. But listen, if that's really where the president is, Jay, he better change his tune quickly, because when you talked to Senator Graham on this broadcast last week, I think he described it correctly when he says that ISIS represents the largest threat to the homeland since 9/11. So the president better quit worrying about politics here. Otherwise, he's going to have a national security disaster on his hand. That has to take priority. And unfortunately, it just hasn't for him yet.
Well, let me ask you this, Jordan, also, when you were just in India, so what was the sense there? I know you've talked about some of it, but I think also, folks, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110. We'll get to your calls in a moment. What was it? What was the sense over there with the whole ISIS issue?
Well, it dominated the news. This dominated the news because, one, these scenes of villages and people having to flee. So whether it's the Christians or the Yazidis, and of course the U.S. airstrikes that come into play. And as you talked about, David, being in Mumbai for the majority of this trip, it's a place that dealt with terror attacks on the ground in a style that would be more similar to an ISIS-style terror attack versus an Al-Qaeda-style terror attack. And I say that because it was a group out of Pakistan with links to groups like Al-Qaeda, but it was a much more sophisticated, the one that hit Mumbai. On the ground, it was a terror assault by troops, people who were trained, who came out of, again, you know, cells, different terror cells, and then caused, you know, significant loss of life, bombings, and were in gun battles in the streets. So it took, you know, for a city that's in the top 10 in the world, I think number 6, at over 22 million people, a handful of terrorists were able to shut it down and put fear into the hearts, and it's never been the same again. You talk to people in Mumbai, you go to the hotels or any significant buildings, every time you enter, even if you're a guest at the hotel with your room card, you have to put every piece of bags you've got with you back through a metal detector. There are police vans outside of the major hotels because hotels were a focus of those terror attacks. So it's similar to our experience here, but more recent, where life changed. And so you see these groups, and like we're starting to realize, okay, they're funded enough, they're organized enough, they may be making threats that are over the top, that we're all going to, you know, be covered in blood because of ISIS here in the U.S. But the idea that some of us could be, because these terror attacks could be real, that's much more realistic and more likely than we would have thought maybe, you know, a month ago.
Well, there you have it, folks. And Jordan's just over there in India. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we've got a brand new book. We're meeting with the publishers tomorrow to get it out quick on this whole situation with Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and the massacre in the Middle East and the genocide in the Middle East. And this is going to be the definitive book, so you will understand exactly what we're dealing with. Let's grab some phone calls. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Elvin in California, line one. Elvin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Elvin.
Good morning. I think that Obama's behavior is a slap in the face of every American. Any rational person should be able to understand that if we don't deal with ISIS aggressively in the Middle East, that we're going to have to confront them here on our soil.
Well, I mean, that's, we know that, David, we know that's their plan. I mean, we know ISIS wants to do that. I mean, they you know, said, see you in New York, is what Abu Bakr said when he was released from prison. And that brings up a whole question, why was he released? But that's another story. But this is a guy who said it, we'll see you in New York. So they know where they want this to go. They may not be able to do that today, but let me tell you something. With a couple of $1 billion, there's a lot of havoc you could do in the United States.
I mean, we know their intention. They say it again and again and again. And let's also understand the dynamics of jihadists. If they can hit hard in the middle of New York, or they can hit hard anywhere in the United States, that increases their prestige in the Middle East. Right now, it is ISIS's success in overrunning all of these areas of Syria and Iraq that are drawing people to it. It's their perception that they are strong. And in the Middle East, there's nothing stronger than being able to hit America.
Jordan, is your sense when you were over in India as this was being discussed, I know you were with a lot of people, that did they understand the nature, the people in the streets, or even the leaders you were dealing with in India understand the scope of what we're dealing with?
Yeah, I think that they do, because, you know, as being a neighbor to Pakistan, not too far away from Afghanistan, and understanding that terror can come to your doorsteps relatively quickly. Yes, they do understand the threat. And I think that, you know, you've got a situation, because of the horrendous images, that if it was handled correctly by the Obama administration, we could significantly increase either the air power and potentially the manpower being used to stop this group, ISIS. It's scaring the world. And when the world is scared, it's when the U.S. can actually come to the forefront. And if the president is wanting to rebuild kind of our reputation, he thinks, you know, in Iraq and the initial Iraq war was a problem, this could be the opportunity to show the world, see where we really are out for the side of good.
Yeah.
And we're getting involved when it's not just about you can't say it's, you know, blood for oil and all of this kind of stuff, when it's really just about protecting minority groups who can't defend themselves, protecting their lives, and we've got the military might to do it, so we'll take the stand. But and they may very well partner with us sending their own troops.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. John's calling from Virginia on line 6. He's been holding for a while. John, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks very much.
Sure.
I have to take issue with some of the points you're making. I'll make my points very brief
okay.
so that you can respond
yep.
to them. First, I have Iraqi and Syrian Christian friends,
yep.
and they say that life before Donald Rumsfeld decided that, and the
yep.
neocons decided that it was time to take out those governments, the Christians lived well in those
well, they certainly
countries.
Lived. I think it's fair to say they were in better shape. I'm not going to dispute that. A friend of mine that was a vicar of Baghdad, I hope to get him on the broadcast this week, Andrew White, said that. I mean, this is not that they weren't being persecuted, but certainly not to this level.
Well, they weren't being persecuted by the government. They were actually treated pretty well, and they had high locations. So we have to really, when neoconservatives tell us it's time for another war, we really have to look back at
that. I don't think this is a neoconservative thing. I think what David Cameron said yesterday, John, is you can't look back and say what happened 10 years ago. I'm going to let David address this quickly. You can't go back and say, 10 years ago, maybe we should have, maybe we should not have. The fact of the matter is you've got a whole different scenario with ISIS. Go ahead, David, quickly.
Well, you know, you can't be allocating blame when people are literally running for their lives.
Yeah.
You've got to save these lives. And then we can talk about what the right move was 11 years ago. But saving lives right now is the
yeah.
priority.
And, John, so I think you got to be forward-looking here.
Well, we have to learn from the past. We also have to consider
absolutely.
The founding fathers had to say, George Washington, Jefferson, Adams all said, don't get in these entangling alliances like with Israel, for example.
Well, that's not true. They didn't say, like, don't get in these entanglements with Israel, for example, because Israel wasn't existing as a modern state then. But they also remember the shores of Tripoli? Remember, you know the song from the shores of Tripoli? That was Thomas Jefferson, okay? So we have entangled this region. Look, I mean, we're not going to have a debate here, John, but it's Benjamin Disraeli said, when you're dealing with the Middle East, it's a lifelong engagement. Thank you for calling, Jordan. I know we've got, we're going to take more calls after the break, but we're also, the numbers are growing on this petition, which is great.
That's right. We're just thousands away, a few thousand away from hitting 200,000 on our petition to do more to stop the genocide of Christians in Iraq. This is a group that sprang out of Syria and moved into Iraq, say, okay, there's a power vacuum here. We can do more after the U.S. left. So, you know, there's a question of even, did they start in Iraq? Did they really start out of the Syria conflict? Call now, add your name to this petition, 877-989-2255. We need to hear from you. Get to 200,000 or sign it at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Billy is calling from Rhode Island on line one. Billy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thanks.
And I just want to say in comment to, I think it was your son,
that
Obama should, his opportunity to get a bigger stance in the world, but it's his idea to reduce America's footprint, okay? But before I go any further, the song you just played by Boston, okay?
Yep.
I was associated with the band. They're all my friends.
Yep.
I did all their tour artwork for them. I've been around for a long time.
Well, I got to get you to do the artwork for our band then, Billy.
I'd be more than happy to, but listen, but I've been around in the early folk days, and I played the same circles with Dylan and those guys, okay? And I have a lot of music behind me, and I listen to your music when you put it on the air.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, Billy, we're working on a song really dealing with this whole Middle East crisis that's going to be a companion to a digital book that we're doing, and we've got some other covers that are going to be coming out soon. But I'm going to put you on hold here and let our screener get your information here. But sure, if you're the art designer for Boston, you could certainly handle us. I appreciate that. But you bring up a great point, and that is this whole point, Jordan and Than and David, everybody can comment on this. And that is, you know, what is the U.S. footprint on in the world stage right now? I think that's a really legitimate and good question.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've got a president who has tried to say, you know, with the lead from behind presidency of, you know, we're going to take a leadership stance, but we're going to do it from behind. I just looked at this region of the world. So I start out in Libya and I go to places like Egypt, which went from a military dictatorship to a democracy led by the Muslim Brotherhood back to a military dictatorship. I look at Syria, which is in a civil war with chemical weapons. I then look at, of course, the situation in Iraq, which, you know, we had Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan. Now we've got ISIS in Iraq that's got a $2 billion war chest growing. And yes, we've got air campaigns. So basically, we are back military engaged in Iraq. We don't know what will happen in Syria. And of course, we are in nuclear negotiations with Iran, who is backing the group fighting the Islamic State in Syria. That's Hezbollah. I mean, some of these are so complex. You'd have to be a real leader. To a leader who's very engaged. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, just to get your hands around this, wrap your head around it, and figure out what's best to do. You cannot do this kind of foreign policy shooting from the hip. It doesn't work.
Well, no, you know, I don't like, you know, Hillary Clinton's general assessment, but, you know, the don't do stupid stuff is not a foreign policy, I think is right. But it's an interesting thing, David. We said this yesterday. You've got... Egypt cutting off Hamas because of their concerns. You've got Iran angry at Hamas because of their backing the Syrian rebels that were getting rid of Assad Bashir, which is their ally in Syria. You have this confluence of all this, and then the question is, what is the American footprint? And what should it be as these issues develop?
Well, you know, in the Hamas angle, it's almost as if President Obama said, okay, what is the worst possible decision that we can make here? And went with it. Because when our own allies in the Middle East, both Israel, Egypt, Jordan, you name it, were united, the part of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah, that's more moderate, all of them united against Hamas, what does Secretary of State Kerry do? He goes out and he says, we're going to find the one or two allies of Hamas out there and advance their peace proposals.
Yeah, that was an interesting diamond. Than, how's it playing politically with the midterms, or will it be a factor?
Well, I think it will be, because what David is describing, it's not a one-time occurrence, Jay. I mean, it's Hamas, it's ISIS, it's the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think the thing that's starting to emerge in D.C. right now is that the president has failed on two main fronts when it deals with ISIS. First of all, ISIS says that their stated goal is a global caliphate. The president doesn't believe that. So he hasn't even taken them for his word. And then second is the question that we've been talking about on the entire broadcast today. Their capacity. The president still believes that containment is a viable strategy when you're dealing about a radical jihadi group like this. Like you've been saying, Jay, containment's not a viable strategy. You have to crush them, and that's what he doesn't realize.
Yeah, well, you know, he's going to have to learn, unfortunately, the hard way. Let's go right back to the phones. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Paul in California, line two. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, Jay, always appreciate you. I was taking a step back looking at the whole scene, and it seems like what's erupting in the Middle East and like with Gaza against
Israel,
the Israelis, well, look at Missouri. It's erupting. It's expanding. It's intensifying.
But, you know, Paul, if you look at Ferguson, it's erupting and expanding because it's a very different situation. But the parallel is outside agitators coming in to make the situation that is horrible to begin with much, much worse. So I don't want to draw the analogy there. I mean, you know, there's another great Disraeli quote that I think is relevant to how you view revolution. He said, when the America engages in a revolution, it's for independence. When the French do a revolution, it's a massacre. And I think there's these agitating forces that get involved in these things. So I don't want to get into the whole Ferguson thing. I really do not want to do that. But I don't think it's the correct analysis. Let's grab AJ from Denver, Colorado quickly, please. AJ, you're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Good. You're on the air.
I just got a comment. The threat to the United States for Islam fighters is here. I mean, I was over there as well. And okay. I've seen their ruthlessness, and I've seen how cold and empty their souls are to be able to kill their own people.
Yep.
You know, I've checked. There's 35 compounds here in the United States alone. And they're getting their funding from the militant Islamic guys that are already here.
Well, I mean, those Gulf states, I mean, the Gulf states are such, I mean, Saudi Arabia has done this before. I mean, our ally. David, what about this idea that ISIS, I mean, I would be surprised if ISIS wasn't here in some capacity. I don't know about how many facilities, but I wouldn't. None of that would shock me. Would it shock you?
Not at all. I mean, well, already they're trying to encourage so-called lone wolf attacks,
right,
where these people are sort of
the one-offs.
Yeah, the freelance jihadists. So they're trying to reach to the United States, and we don't know what we don't know. I mean, we don't know what plans are in process. On September 10th, 2001, we had no idea what was coming the next day. And with a terror organization as large as they are, as well-funded as they are, and as vicious as they are, we have to crush them.
Yep. Alan, very quickly, please, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is, what is being done or can be done in regards to freezing up the assets of this $2 billion and so forth?
Well, here's the problem. They're controlling these assets directly, Alan. This isn't a situation where we could say we're going to, you know, do an economic sanction. Doesn't carry the day here, Jordan, right?
Yeah, I mean, we did sanction the head of ISIS now, al-Baghdadi, but they, you know, he's not trying to do foreign transactions in his name. So, you know, that most of that's done more for paper purposes and long-term purposes. So the idea of sanctions could be possible as their financial numbers grow because they got to move that money around. But unfortunately, we know there are countries that will help them. It won't be Iran in this case, but North Korea and others that will try to help them move that money around.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. If you haven't signed that petition, we're going to get to that goal of 200,000 with your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, we're in a matching challenge campaign. It's going great, but we could sure use your help approaching the last about 12 days here. And we've got a big goal, and you're going to help us get there. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, so we encourage that. ACLJ.org. Also, share us and like us on Facebook. We are just shy of 2 million. I mean, really close to 2 million between mine and the ACLJ's. So we want to encourage you to do that as well, and we'll talk to you on air tomorrow.
So many people have come and gone. The faces fade as the years go by.
Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org.